Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is getting up to use the bathroom at the stadium.
Excuse me? Excuse me? Oh, sorry. Excuse me? You mind if I just squeeze by here?
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Delhi Decoded. I'm Pritika Khanna, your host, and I'm here with your weekly update from the national capital. In this podcast, each episode, we pick a pin code from Delhi and dive into the most famous buildings, landmarks, and stories from that pin code. For those of you who are from Delhi, I'm sure you have some very special memories from these places. For those of you who aren't, don't worry, I'll help you get a peek into the pulse of Delhi. This week, we'll be discussing a development that happened away from Delhi, but definitely has ramifications in Delhi as well. Nitish Kumar has taken oath as the Bihar Chief Minister for a record fourth consecutive term. However, this election, the results have thrown up a new alignment, with the Bharatiya Janata Party emerging as the strongest player in the state. The election also saw Rashtriya Janata Dal emerge as a strong opposition against the National Democratic Alliance in the state. This election was a keenly watched one for various reasons. It was the first time an election was conducted since the COVID-19 pandemic began in India. However, an election in Bihar is also keenly watched due to the stakes it has for other states, including Delhi. I have with me Sanjay Kumar, who is a political analyst and professor at the New Delhi-based think tank, the Center for the Study of Developing Societies, Lokniti. He has closely monitored the election and will shed light on the significance of this election and what lies ahead for future elections. Hi, sir. Thank you so much for joining us on Delhi Decoded today. Nitish Kumar has now taken charge for a record term once again in Bihar. But this election also saw BJP emerge as the single largest player within the NDA and in Bihar. So what, according to you, are the key takeaways from this election?
I think the key takeaway is this would be the last election. In my opinion, this is the last election when BJP is contesting in Bihar as an alliance, in alliance with JDU. BJP has emerged as a bigger partner within the NDA, and not only bigger partner, much bigger partner compared to JDU. I think this is, I'm just repeating it again, that this is the last election when BJP would, which BJP has contested as an alliance. 2025 election, which is 5 years from now, that is an election BJP would be looking forward to contest alone. So BJP has formed the government, NDA has formed the government in Bihar. But this government is just a stepping stone for BJP's expansion in Bihar. Look at the way they have appointed two deputy chief ministers. They belong to the lower OBC caste. So they have already given hints of expansion, the desire for expansion of the party in Bihar. Yes, they will be in government. That will help them in expanding party support base. So the message is BJP is looking forward to a UP-like situation in Bihar.
So, but as you were mentioning, do you think that this would be a stable situation? Do you think, do you see Nitish Kumar actually completing his 5-year term in Bihar?
Very difficult to make a prediction on that, whether Nitish Kumar will complete his 5-year term or not. But yes, going by the numbers, yes, the government would be unstable. And when I say government would be unstable, because the relationship between Nitish Kumar and BJP is not going to be as cordial as it has been in the past. I think there would be hiccups, there would be lots of hiccups. And if the hiccups become more bumpy, the road for governance become more bumpy, maybe a situation might arrive when Nitish Kumar would like to, you know, leave the government, may resign. So my own sense is also that it would be very difficult for Nitish Kumar to complete 5 years as the chief minister. I am also one of those who believe that Nitish Kumar may not be able to complete 5 years as the chief minister when in this kind of a setup of BJP.
But how do you see this election for in terms of opposition party? Because this was an election after many, many years that Lalu Yadav was not major player in the run-up to election. But you saw his son come out and lead the party. How do you see the performance for opposition parties? Also, because they fought in an alliance and you saw Congress sort of become a weak player in that alliance.
One has to look at the election verdict very carefully. And my own view is that the opposition contested elections in a very excellent manner. I look at the vote percentage. The difference between the vote percentage of NDA and Mahagathbandhan is just 0.1%. NDA ended up getting 37.3% vote and Mahagathbandhan ended up getting 37.2% vote. And when I say that Gathbandhan, Mahagathbandhan opposition contested elections in an excellent form, the reason why I say that, because 2-3 months before elections, if somebody posed this question, so how do I see Bihar elections? I think everybody was talking about that Bihar election is, at least I believed, that Bihar election is hard. There was hardly any contest in Bihar. NDA was all set to get a massive victory. And when I used to say massive victory, I was anticipating that NDA might get anything in the range of 170 to 200 seats. But from there, look at the way Tejaswi Yadav has put up a contest against NDA. So in that respect, and the vote estimate, the votes are evenly matched. The only the difference in the votes is only of about 12,224 votes, which is nothing. If 4 crore 25 lakh people have voted in Bihar, the difference between the two alliances is just 12,000 votes. So when 3-4 months before election, when I saw elections completely one-sided, it was a completely one-sided story for NDA. And finally, Mahagathbandhan ended up putting up such a contest. Equal vote share, just 10-15 seats less compared to NDA. So in that respect, opposition fought this election in a very decent manner. If you also look at the campaign, Tejaswi Yadav was attacked personally, being labeled as Jungle Raj ka Yuvraj. His parents were attacked by Chief Minister. Personal attack about the number of children. 15 years of RJD rule was referred as Jungle Raj, not once, several times. In spite of all these attacks, Tejaswi Yadav did not get into this tutu meme kind of thing. He kept his focus on the issue of development. He kept his focus on the issue of unemployment. So he kept a very positive approach throughout the campaign. I think this is the way to contest election. Don't get into personal attacks. He kept himself away from personal attack. He never attacked any leader personally. So I think it's a great achievement for opposition, though they could not manage to win this election. They could not manage to form the government. But I think this is a good performance by opposition parties.
The election in Bihar, sir, something that's always been driven by caste, like also in UP. Since you work so closely, do you think that has changed this election? Do you think that, or has the voting been in line with what has traditionally happened in terms of caste patterns?
Oh, this election was far more polarized on the basis of caste compared to any other elections in the recent past. Mm-hmm. When I say recent past, I refer to 3 decades of politics in Bihar. When the youths were coming in large number in Tejaswi Yadav's campaign, there was a hope that at least the youth of Bihar would rise above their caste consideration and they might vote in favor of Tejaswi Yadav and Mahagathbandhan in very large numbers. So there were expectations, there was a hope that in this election, the alliance of caste and vote, the alliance means the kind of alliance people have in their mind, that I should be voting for party A because that party cares for my own caste. That will be. But when we look at the verdict, when I do the analysis of the data which we collected during the survey, during the election, I get a sense that this is an election where caste-based voting was more firm compared to the past election. And I would give some evidences for that. The Yadavs, they have voted in this election. Yadavs, almost 70 to 75% Yadavs used to vote for RJD, even though RJD has not performed well, or if though RJD is performing, irrespective of the performance of RJD. In this election, more than 80% of Yadavs voted for RJD Gathbandhan, RJD and Congress alliance. Similarly, if we look at the Kurmi caste, the other dominant OBC caste, and this is the caste to which Nitish Kumar belongs. So JDU has always got 65 to 70% of the Kurmi's vote last 30 years. In this election, JDU got more than 80% of the Kurmi vote. These two castes were sharply polarized in favor of their own leader. And these two leaders belong to the different castes. Tejasvi Yadav is a Yadav and Nitish Kumar is a Kurmi. If you look at the Muslim vote was more sharply polarized in favor of Mahagathbandhan this time compared to the past election. Though in 5 or 6 constituency, Muslims did vote for AIMIM, and that is why 5 candidates of AIMIM managed to win election. Since the Dalits were, LJP was not in alliance with any of the two major alliances, so Dalit vote was scattered. Some Dalits voted in favor of LJP because NDA had an alliance with Hindustani Awam Morcha, of which Jitan Ram Manji is the leader. He also represents one section of Dalit. So some Dalit voted for NDA and some Dalit also voted for Mahagathbandhan. So in the Dalit vote was scattered, but if we leave aside the Dalit vote, all other castes were sharply polarized. The upper caste voted for BJP and NDA in a very large number, the way they have been voting in the past. So from different corners, if I look at voting patterns of voters belonging to different castes, I don't get any sense of caste-based voting becoming, you know, more fluid in Bihar election, while it was far more consolidated compared to the past election.
On a normal year, ghats in areas like Delhi's 110043 would be prepping for Chhath Puja, which is scheduled to take place later this week. This year, celebrations have been cancelled due to the pandemic. This festival is predominantly celebrated in Bihar. Not just that, Bihar has been a key central focus for elections in the national capital as well. The Delhi Assembly has approximately a dozen members who originally hailed from the state. In the run-up to general elections, we saw political parties host Litti Chokha parties, which is a famous dish in the state of Bihar. How important do you think the elections in Bihar are for Delhi?
Not exactly for Delhi, but I think Bihar election was important for the ruling party in Bihar, which is the BJP and JDU. It was also important for the opposition party. Why it was important for BJP? Because if you look at BJP's electoral performance after 2019 election, they have not been performing well. And I should name the states. Maharashtra, the performance was not that good. Haryana finally ended up forming the government in alliance with a regional party. They lost elections in Delhi badly. They lost elections in Jharkhand. So they were looking forward to a victory. If they had not managed to form the government in Bihar, it would have been another blow to BJP's popularity. And it would have given had a demoralizing impact on BJP's workers, BJP's leader. That is why it was so important for BJP to win this election. Similarly for Nitish Kumar, he has already declared that this is going to be his last election. If they had not come to power, it would have meant end to Nitish Kumar's politics. So at least Nitish Kumar is the chief minister again. For opposition, it was so important for them to, you know, put their act together. They did manage to put their act together to some extent. And if Mahagathbandhan had managed to form the government, this would have given some signal, some, you know, energy to the opposition leaders, which Mahagathbandhan could not form the government. So they were short of the majority. That is why it was so important for Mahagathbandhan or opposition leaders also to win the election in Bihar. For Delhi, I don't think that there is any direct impact of Bihar elections on Delhi. Even the Delhi Assembly elections is almost 4.5 years away. Elections have taken only early this year. So there is no direct impact. But yes, the echo of Bihar election, because Bihar is such a politicized society. So people have a very close watch on what is happening in Bihar, what is happening in Bihar politics. So that is why Bihar, anything which what happens in which what whatever happens in Bihar, especially about politics, it has some echo in Delhi. It also has some echo in other states as well.
Absolutely, sir. So this election was also a lot of firsts. It was the first state that went to poll ever since the entire COVID-19 pandemic has broken out in the country. And we saw changes that the Election Commission had to make, even in terms of, you know, the, how the campaign was conducted. How do you see the impact of what has happened in future elections? Because we have the next year is actually going to see a lot of states go to poll.
Well, first, I do hope that by next year, the elections are due in four states in the month of and May. The two states in the east, which is Assam and West Bengal, and two states in the down south, Kerala and Tamil Nadu. I do hope that by the time this COVID situation and control and things would return back to more than normal, I think. So I'm hoping that that change would take place. But the importance of this election, Bihar election, was also because of the factor which you have already, the question which you're asking. When elections were announced, even before elections were announced, there were anxieties. How election will take place in Bihar? Will people turn to vote? How election commission will manage their campaign? How they are going to manage the booths, etc. So I think credit must go be given. Credit should be given to election commission. They actually manage the elections very well. They increased the number of polling stations. So the polling stations were increased by 50%. To ensure that not too many people should gather at one polling station to cast their vote. One must also congratulate the people of Bihar. They turned out in very large numbers. There were lots of anxieties. Will people come out to vote, especially among the urban voters? Urban voters are going to be concerned more about their own health or about the elections, about politics. And if you look at the turnout figures, the turnout was as high, almost equal compared to 2015 election. So in that respect, this election is a kind of a role model. Even if we have to hold elections, the Election Commission has to hold elections in similar situations. They have a role model. They have a format now, which they can replicate. Yes, there were some anxieties when rallies used to take place because people may not be saying all the COVID norms which they were expected to do. The big rallies did take place. People were not following the social distancing norm. People were not wearing masks. Maybe the sanitizer was not being used. But on the final day, look at the images which we received, which we were getting on the polling day. It was systematic. People were standing in the queue with social distancing. People were using sanitizer. People had put up masks. So I think this is a format which has been provided by the people of Bihar, by Election Commission, that how do you hold elections in difficult situation? COVID is one such situation. There could be similar difficult situation to hold elections.
Absolutely, absolutely, sir. So last question, because as you mentioned, COVID is a different situation. This new government is going into it with a very different, economy is suffering. We've also seen a high amount of reverse migration that has happened. Along with all of that, there is that impending health crisis that we're all dealing with. What should be the priority area for the government in such a...
For the government of Bihar, I think there have been so much of promises about jobs, job opportunities, employment opportunities. If you remember, recollect that how Mahagathbandhan, Tejaswi Yadav, was hammering again and again in every single rally that he is going to provide 10 lakh jobs to unemployed youth. And BJP responded by saying they would make sure that there are 19 lakh employment opportunities. So the youth of Bihar are looking forward to this employment opportunity. That should be the priority of the government. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of unrest. Look at the vote share of the two parties are evenly divided. So the opposition is in an equal strength. And Tejaswi Yadav has already made it clear that he will wait till January, February. And if government does not do anything to, generate employment opportunity, he's going to come on the street. He's going to lead a movement against the government. So the to be very, very careful. They have to give positive signals that they're trying to do their best to generate employment, while we all know that employment cannot be generated overnight. So that has to be the top priority of the government. Think of ways to generate employment. Think of ways to provide better livelihood opportunities. And that also includes better health facility, better educational facility.
Definitely. I think education and I think the youth is definitely at a point where they're looking for change in jobs. And the government will definitely have to provide that. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us today on Delhi Decoded. That's all from me this week. I'll be back next week with a new PIN code. Until then, please like, subscribe and share this episode. We're always looking to hear your thoughts and suggestions. We're ever present on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at HT Smartcast. You can also reach out to me directly on Twitter at Pritika Khanna. Thank you so much for joining in. See you next time. Until then, stay safe and healthy.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.